Part 4.
You are going to hear a talk given by a university lecturer to a group of design students. First, look at questions 31 to 37. As you listen to the talk, complete the notes made by one of the students present.
Good afternoon, and welcome to everybody. My name is Dr. Paulette Southfield, and I specialize in European product design in the Department of Product and Furniture Design. It's fallen on me to kick off your first term with the introductory lecture. And after much thought, looking for a fancy title, I decided to call my talk today simply, What is Design For? What is design for is one of the most important questions that we seek to answer in this department. After all, an electric kettle is no more than a vessel with a heating element, a chair no more than a seat and back with enough legs for support, and a motor car no more than a box with seats, four wheels, and an engine. But we all know that a kettle can pour badly and be awkward to handle, a chair uncomfortable and ugly to look at, and a car unreliable and unattractive. The answer to my question is, of course, implicit in these examples. Good design makes for efficient products, like an efficient kettle, maybe cordless and manageable by arthritic or elderly hands. A well-designed chair is comfortable and an inviting asset to our living rooms. And a carefully designed car combines maximum safety, comfort, and elegance. The conclusion we can draw from this is that the role of design, to paraphrase Terence Conran, is to ensure that things do the job they were intended to do, that they are well made and efficient, and that they're pleasing to use and to look at. There are, however, other reasons for the importance of design. Advertising and the media fuel the acquisitive nature of consumerism, but together with greater choice, they encourage a more discerning approach from the public who can compare the qualities of one product with those of another. The aesthetic appeal of a bold new table lamp can be weighed against the charms of a dozen others, while the choice of a new personal stereo may involve its stylish appearance as much as its efficient function.
Before the speaker continues the talk, look at questions 38 to 41. For these questions, there are four alternatives, A, B, C, and D. Decide which alternative is the most suitable answer and circle the appropriate letter.
And yet there is another reason for the enhanced role of the designer in today's world of rapidly advancing technology. As the life cycle of every product grows ever shorter, the designer has to be working on an updated model as soon as the latest one is off the drawing board. Nowhere is this more evident than in the design of motor cars. The same technological advance has also made a huge impact in the field of medicine. And here the designer is involved in the development of new equipment, from the endoscope, the increasingly sophisticated dentist chair, and the robotic hospital porter, to the artificial hip replacement and other prostheses. Finally, we should not forget the role of design in the marketing wars. As manufacturers battle to enhance the desirability of their products over those of their competitors, the talents, imagination, and training of their designers are paramount. A proper appreciation of this factor can even be significant for national economies and their export markets. I'd like to end, though, with a few words on the relationship between good design and that elusive factor, quality of life. If we start by agreeing that living is more than just existing, we must admit that living with everyday things that are aesthetically pleasing as well as effective enhances that quality. Most of us react against things which are coarse, feeble, or pretentious, but are drawn towards things which embody efficiency, imagination, and style. In the words of French designer Roger Talon, design is first and foremost an attitude. Now, if anyone would like to ask any questions or raise any further points,